I picked the song we just sang together. Will also be our invitation song, just stanza one, and hopefully after we look at 1 John chapter 2, the song even has more meaning as we sing it together. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 7 through 11. As you can see, we're going to have our communion service during the morning service this morning, and so I have to make sure I keep moving through this passage that we have time for the communion service. It's also when we talk about being in fellowship together, loving one another, the communion service is an appropriate response, an appropriate part of that. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Last week, and you can see this from the title that I forgot to change on your outline, Walking in the Light. Last week we talked about walking in the light, that those who are genuine disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ are in fellowship with him. They know him. They have the love of God perfected in them, and they abide in him. Those who are in Christ, those who are God's children, they keep his commandments, they keep his word, and they walk as he walked. Well, that's where we stopped last week, and now the question is, okay, well, what is Jesus' words? What are his commandments? How did he walk? Well, the way he walked is that we are to love our brother. In John chapter 14 and verse 31, we read these words, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here." There you see, Jesus said, the things I'm about to do and that you're going to see me do are so that you know that I love the Father. In John 15:9, Jesus said, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." And so there we see that Jesus is saying the Father loves the Son. He also goes on to say, "I, Jesus, the Son of God, I love you as well." In fact, later in John 17, verses 22 and 23, in his prayer for his disciples, he says these things, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." And so now there you see Jesus is involving us. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, and they love us. They love his children. They love believers in the same way. And his instruction this morning in 1 John is going to be that God's children are to love each other. The same way the Father and the Son love each other. The same way the Father and the Son love his disciples, the children of God. And then this is the testimony to the world. This is when our testimony, we're representing God, when we love one another. Well, let's look at how John presents this commandment. It's not going to be until later in 1 John that we get into more details. Okay, how do we love one another? Today, in these verses, he's just presenting us that we must love one another. Verse 7. Brethren, 1 John 2, verse 7. "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning." Verse 8, "A new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Well, that's interesting. He just told us two different things. He said, I'm writing to you an old commandment, and I'm writing to you a new commandment. That's how he introduces the command to love our brother. How is it first an old commandment? He said, first of all, this is an old commandment, one which you have had from the beginning. Well, if you're familiar with the scriptures, you'll know that the command, at least the command to love your neighbor, is part of the law of the Moses, given 1,500 years before Christ. It's actually given, when you're reading through the Bible, one of the books that you really don't, you might find harder to read through, the book of Leviticus. It's Leviticus 19:18. It says this, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." That's Leviticus 19:18. So this is a command that is not new to the nation of Israel, to any of those who follow the Lord. It's as Jesus, or as John is writing this, it's been known for 1,500 years since Moses, the time of Moses, when he recorded the first five books of the scripture. Moses was the author of Genesis through Deuteronomy. He also says, this is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Well, now he's talking to his writers, or to his readers of this epistle, and he says, you've also heard this from the beginning. Well, one of the ways they've heard this is both from John himself, but John, as one of the disciples, they heard it from Jesus Christ himself. And remember, this would have been probably within, John is writing this within 50, 60 years. All the books of the New Testament were written within a few decades of the Lord Jesus Christ walking the earth. And so they would have been sharing what he taught. Well, Jesus said this in Matthew 5:17. He said these words, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." So there Jesus is saying that command in Leviticus 19, don't think I'm saying, hey, we don't have to do these commands. I came to fulfill the law, not to destroy the law. We get another example of this in Mark chapter 12. So I'll invite you to turn there because this is a little bit longer passage. Again, I try to list the references I refer to in the outline just so that when I'm going quickly, you can find them again later if you so desire. Mark chapter 12, Jesus is interacting with a scribe here in this passage, and I'm going to start in verse 28, Mark 12 and verse 28. "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he answered them well, asked him," that's Jesus, "which is the first commandment of all?" All right, so they've been grilling Jesus, trying to, you know, maybe trying to catch him in a trap and you know, asking him the hard questions. And one of the scribes is perceiving that, hey, Jesus knows the scriptures. He's answering them well. And so he said, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first commandment of all is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment." He answers more. He says, "The second is like it, is this." So he gave him the one command. Now he's going to give him the second one. The second is this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." All right? These two commandments are the greatest. And elsewhere he says, "On these hang all the law and the prophets." So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole of burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared question him. So you see there that Jesus is confirming the law given by Moses 1,500 years before the time of Christ, that you're to love your neighbor as yourself. The scribes and Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they understood. They knew this old command to love your neighbor. So it is an old commandment. It's a well-known commandment. And not only was it recorded in the Old Testament, in the Law and the Prophets, Jesus taught it himself. So why, what's going on then if we go back to 1 John chapter 2 when he changes in verse 8 and he says again, a new commandment I write to you. What's going on there? Because he just got through explaining it's the old commandment. You've had it from the beginning. It's the commandment you've heard. A new commandment. Well, he says this, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. All right, this is a new commandment. First of all, look at that phrase. He said, this is true in him. What makes this new is that this command is true in him or Jesus. All right? There's something new about this command. He says it's also new in you because you know Jesus, who is the light. All right? So those words are important there where he says it's new in verse 8, where he says it's true in him and in you. All right? And so that's relevant. You know Jesus. You've seen Jesus. You've been changed by Jesus. You walk in the light. And what makes this new is that Jesus, it was also true in Jesus. Look at the following phrase. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. So this is where, you know, walking in the light is an okay title for this, because that's where this, those who walk in the light do this commandment, all right? And so it's a commandment that is true because the darkness is passing away and the true light is shining. Jesus is the light of the world. One of the most familiar verses, John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. All right, disciples of Jesus will not walk in the darkness. They walk in the light. And that light is the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gives a contrast to this and in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. For even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Remember, the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Son of God. The gospel is in him. Salvation is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. And so Jesus, this new commandment is true because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. You see there again that what makes this commandment new from John's perspective is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for one thing, Jesus himself called it a new command. In John 13:34, Jesus said this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It is a little different. It is still love your neighbor as yourself, but now he adds, what's new? You're to love as I have loved you. Now we not only have the command, we have Jesus showing us. Here's how you do it. Here's how you love one another. Not only that, this is how you're going to show you follow Jesus, because you're going to walk as he walked. You're going to walk in the light that is Jesus Christ. And you're going to love as he has loved us. John 13, that new commandment I read to you was in John 13, 34. John 13 is where Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And remember, he told them in chapter 13 and verse 15, a little earlier, he says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. That's before he gives explanation on the new commandment, he shows them. He washes his disciples' feet. So it is an old commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. But and so it's something you've heard, you've been taught, but it's new because now Jesus, the light of the world, has shown you what this is, what this means. He's shown us how to do it. Jesus has shown how to love one another when he demonstrated his love for us. Ultimately, he demonstrated his love on the cross when he was punished for our sins, when he took our place. He became the defendant under the judgment and wrath of God for sin. But it was our sin that he was under judgment for. That is the ultimate demonstration of love. He gave up his life. He died for us fully and completely. Not only lost his life, physical body died. You know, his body died, but he was separated from God in fellowship. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The one time in all eternity, past and future, where the Father and the Son were at odds with one another as the Father poured out his wrath on the Son for our sins. So Jesus showed us love. That is the gospel. He says it, that's the gospel, and that's also how we're supposed to walk. He explains this in verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Look at verse 11. We'll skip verse 10 for now. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Hating your brother, the opposite of loving your brother. Your brother here is your fellow disciple. This doesn't negate that we're supposed to, in general, love our neighbor, but John here is being very specific to loving your brother in Christ, all right? To love those who follow Christ. In John 15, verses 16 through 18, he said this. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, Jesus in John 15 is also specifically talking about loving your fellow disciples, the ones he chose. And you're especially supposed to love your brother because the world's going to hate him. Now think of this, what we're doing when believers hate one another, when Jesus' disciples hate one another. They're acting like the world. The exact opposite. They're joining in with the world. Those who hated Jesus Christ. They're acting the same way. They're walking in darkness. And so loving one another is what we're supposed to do if we're walking in the light. When you hate your brother, when you hate your fellow disciple, you're in darkness, you're walking in darkness, you're blinded by the darkness, you're acting like the world. Rather, he says, verse 10, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Okay, you stumble in the darkness, right? You stumble when you can't see. You stumble when you forget something's on the floor and you trip over it. All right? You stumble in the darkness. We're not supposed to be stumbling. We're in the light. Loving your brother is walking in the light. It's walking without stumbling. Again, Jesus in John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10, Jesus answered and said this, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." Again, Jesus is the light of the world. He is the message of the gospel is in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the simple message that John is giving us here. If you're in Christ, if you're abiding in Christ, if you're walking in the light, if you're a child of God, you love your brother. You love your fellow disciple. You're supposed to be loving them. And so, if I had a lot more time, we could go into detail what that is, but it's not necessary because we're going to get there. John, later on in the gospel, is going to tell us, okay, well, now the next question, okay, what is walking in the light and walking in love with your brother? We have some illustrations from Jesus I referred to. You can see what he did. He washed his disciples' feet, even though he was their Lord. He went to the cross. But John also is going to get into more detail later. So I want to leave you with just a couple of notes here. First of all, we see in the passage and the verses I've quoted that the standard for loving one another, loving your fellow disciple, what's the standard? It is God's love. It is the example of God and the Lord Jesus in their love. It's what the love God demonstrated. That's the standard. All right, so if your question is, well, do I have to go this far in loving? Do I have to love him if he's this way? If she's this way? Well, you look to the example God gave us. When we were yet sinners, when we were his enemies, Christ died for us. You look to the example God set, and that's the example we follow. So the standard is God. If you don't love your brother like Jesus loves your brother, then you're missing the mark. So this is a high standard. This is a high calling, but this is what is supposed to describe the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Second of all, and this is a passage that I forget far too often. I know I refer to it often, but often because it's a reminder to me. And this is in Matthew chapter 25. And I want to read to you. It's a little bit longer passage. And this is the judgment when Jesus comes back to earth and he judges those who are alive on the earth at that time. And we're going to see just a fascinating and interesting thing that we must always remember. I'm going to read starting in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, and it sounds like they're confused. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. He goes on and he talks to the other group. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is an incredible passage that you need to remember when you're loving one another, when you're loving fellow disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when you, this shows you how big of a deal it is that we are in Christ, that we are united with Christ, that when you minister to one another, Jesus says you're ministering to Jesus himself. When you love your brother, and when you demonstrate that and you show that to your brother, you are ministering to Jesus himself. And when you're not loving your brother, when you're not ministering to your fellow disciple, you're not ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you hate your brother, you're hating the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think, well, that wasn't appreciated, or that didn't go well, or whatever. Whenever you come up with your reasons why you shouldn't, always remember you're talking about the Lord Jesus himself. Because that's how clearly he says it in that passage. And that's why I bring up that passage as the final note. Remember when you love your brother who you're loving. You're loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are in the Father. He is in the Father. The Father is in him. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, you become a part of that family and you are in Christ. And the Father loves you just as he loves the Son. And this relationship is so close that to harm or do hurt to a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is to hurt Jesus Christ himself. And if that doesn't motivate you to love one another, I can't help you with anything else, because to know you're loving your Savior himself, that should be all the motivation we need. So in conclusion, if you claim to be a disciple of Jesus, but you hate other believers, he says something's wrong. You need to examine, are you really a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because this shouldn't describe the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he's asked his followers to do. You're walking in darkness. You might be fairly popular because the world will love you, just because the world hates Christ and hates his followers, and so you might be more popular that way. The world loves those who claim to be Christians and then turn on the disciples of Jesus who obey his commandments, but true disciples love their brothers in Christ. So think through this. Are you a disciple? And then we're all aware, even as disciples, we know we're disciples. We love our brothers, but we find ourselves faltering in this sometimes, don't we? We get off track. We forget that we're demonstrating our love to Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so this is a care and a concern for those of us who are believers, but we read this and we listen to this and we're like, yeah, I'm glad John wrote this because I can certainly do better. I can be aware of what I'm doing. I can do more. I can do better. I can be more Christ-like in this area. I can grow in this area. And that's what we should be doing. Let's strive to be like Jesus in our love for one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this challenge. And we know it's, at this point, it's very basic. It's just that we are supposed to be loving one another. We're supposed to be loving your disciples, your children. And Lord, sometimes we find it easy to get distracted. We, by nature, like to love ourselves, and we like to think of ourselves more than others. Help us to follow the example of your Son when he washed his own disciples' feet, when he went to the cross, even to the point of giving our lives for one another. Help us to love one another as Christ loved his children, as Christ showed us. Lord, if there's anyone here who's not a part of your family, who isn't united with you through their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I just ask that you would help them to see their need and for the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can, in simple faith, become a part of the family, of your family, in accepting the one you sent, your Son, who paid for their sins on the cross and rose again. Lord, guide us through the rest of this service. We're about to partake together in remembering Jesus' demonstration of love. And Lord, may this not only be an example as we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, but may it bear fruit in our lives as we see the sacrifice that we also can give towards one another as we love our brother. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.